Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ahoy hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we're as pretty as Princess Leia and as smart as Yoda. I am your host, Bob Mackey, and in case you didn't know, this is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Who else is here with me today?
Christopher Antista.
And Henry, 1980 is the best Gilbert.
It totally is, even though I wasn't alive. How could it be? But today's episode is I Married Marge, which aired on December 26, 1991, the second flashback episode. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in history? The day after Christmas, what an amazing gift to the world.
Exciting. Mikhail Gorbachev resigns as president of the Soviet Union. Time Warner declares Ted Turner its man of the year. And with $35 million in tour revenue, the Grateful Dead are the highest grossing live act of 1991.
How much longer would Wavy Gravy be with us?
I believe Garcia would die 3 or 4 years later and put an instant stop to that success.
Yeah, all I remember from them as a kid is the video where they were all skeletons. And I was like, the skeleton band. They're fun. And then I found out they kind of aren't fun.
I remember them as ice cream. That's how I was introduced to Cherry Garcia and Wavy Gravy.
Also, those dumb bear stickers that were everywhere.
Bear stickers on Volkswagen buses.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
The grocery store I worked in had a vending machine full of those garbage things. Yes, so this is the second flashback episode. I really like it. It's called I Married Marge. It flashes back to 1980, and for me as a kid, born in 82, it was a window into like the short period of time before I was born, which is very mystical and magical for me. And even now, I had to look up references. I'm like, how did I ever find any of this funny as a 10-year-old? Because I'm like, John Anderson, who is that? Google. And then I looked it up.
But... yeah, because I was born in 1980. So I was zero throughout the entire decade.
Yes.
So I don't remember any of it. So when people say, you're 80s nostalgic, I'm like, I'm actually just as 90s nostalgic as you are, because that's when I came of age.
I think we're all a weird hybrid of 80s and 90s kids.
Yeah.
Our Punit squares are all fucked up.
I am nostalgic now when I watch, and I do, every other year, E.T. I watch E.T., and that's the 80s that is real vague in my head. The long shag carpeting, wood panel walls.
The 70s are just kind of bleeding out.
The end of the 70s, and I am nostalgic for that, because I barely remember it.
No, me neither. I think I only became cognizant of pop culture or memory in 87 when I was 5. But at that point, that's when I had, my family had the free weekend of HBO. I was watching more TV. I watched an appalling amount of TV.
Yes, and as we all did.
And so because of that, I came to know all that.
Hey, you're supposed to be listening to my story.
I thought it was over. You had a problem turning blades. You overcame it. The feel-good story of the year.
It's not our fault our generation has short attention spans, Dad. We watch an appalling amount of TV.
Don't you ever, ever talk that way about television. Lousy, ungrateful, can't keep their, minds on any...
I feel like that is Homer's first explicit declaration of his passion for television.
Yeah, just, I do like that in that, like, no, television's not the scapegoat anymore.
No, exactly.
It's the internet.
In like, smartphones. Like, yeah. This was the boogeyman
and
in the
Homer
Simpsons era.
Grew up without television. So stupidity is reigning in from somewhere else in America.
Actually, he grew up sitting in front of the Radiation King, remember?
I had nostalgia for this era of the 80s, even though I didn't live it. Just because it feels warm and homey to me. And also, I definitely, this episode is the most that, I know I say this like every other episode, but
I'm going to compliment Harry Shearer too, so hold on to your seats.
Yeah, but these are the ones that remind me, like, oh yeah, I conflated my parents with Marge and Homer. Like, I thought my mom and dad are Marge and Homer, and this episode has like shocking parallels to my parents' like marriage and their life. But the behind the scenes thing on this one, this is a sequel to The Way We Was, a very direct sequel, but it's the first one of a trilogy of flashback episodes written by Jeff Martin.
Oh, they're all Jeff Martin joints.
Yeah, they're all Jeff Martin joints. He wrote this one. He will write Lisa's First Word and the B Sharps episode. Mm. He does all those three flashbacks.
I don't like this episode. But not because it just didn't hit me that well. I think I described it earlier as the bland tofurkey in between a sandwich made of Flaming Moe's and Radio Bart bread.
It might be a little too James L. Brooksy to fit where it falls
into
the season.
It's very sincere and sweet and doesn't focus very much on comedy, and the jokes are much more lame if you're watching them like us in blocks.
I do enjoy this look into the Simpsons lore, Simpsons canon,
like,
because we praise The Way We Was for being revolutionary, for being like, what is, oh my god, 70s nostalgia is a thing. This is 80s nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And not just 80s the decade, 1980 the year.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, I mean, I think we brought up that episode, that 90s show, which sort of rewrites the history of The Simpsons, and that's not why it's bad. It's bad because it takes the 90s as a decade. Like, there are jokes about Homer starting grunge music along with jokes about Clinton being impeached in the same episode. This is all specific to 1980 itself.
So specifically 1980, and about how they lived then. And also the behind the scenes thing I wanted to mention was that Sam Simon, who we talked a ton about on Flaming Moe's, he warned them at the time of, like, guys, we're being inefficient to have them getting Bart's birth, the wedding, and Homer getting hired at the power plant in one episode.
In retrospective, there are only five real flashback episodes that fit in this 80s timeline, 70s, 80s timeline. Huh. And they did spill a lot of what they could have done and more in this episode.
And that's why they end up having to do ones that really scratch the bottom of the barrel, like, why did Homer start wearing blue pants?
Yes.
Or they have to answer the question we didn't ask, but was interesting to see, when did Lisa get a saxophone?
That's where I cut off the flashback episodes, I think. That's the last good one.
The introductory clip I have is great. It'll set up the premise for this whole episode.
Hey, Homer, how come Mom's going to the doctor?
Is anything wrong?
No, everything's fine. Your mother just broke her leg.
What? I smell a bun in the oven.
Is Mom gonna have another baby, Dad?
Maybe.
Whoa! Way to go!
You're a machine, Homer.
Did you hear that, Maggie? Another baby in the house.
Oh, cool. We can race them.
Yeah, sure. For you, a baby's all fun and games. For me, it's diaper changes and midnight feedings.
Doesn't Mom do that stuff?
Yeah, but I have to hear about it.
Were you like this when Mom was pregnant with me?
Actually, Bart, I threw up more than your mother. It all happened at the beginning of that turbulent decade known as the 80s. Those were idealistic days. The candidacy of John Anderson, the rise of Supertramp. It was an exciting time to be young. When I was
young. Beautiful. None of those jokes are funny.
I guess you kind of have to know who John Anderson was, and I had to look him up, but like, I never got this joke before. He was the more moderate alternative to Reagan. He ran as an independent in the 1980
election.
He's not
the singer of Seminole Wind?
No.
Somebody out there is going to get them.
So he was like the Ross Perot of 12 years earlier. Yeah.
Or the Mitt Romney, perhaps?
I had a really dumb idea for an article. I'm going to pitch it right here. Because I remember them a lot on being in the car with my parents on NPR. A giant collection of Ross Perot, pro-Ross Perot songs.
What?
Like, just because I still have the lyrics to them in my head, some of them. And my parents were not Ross Perot fans, but like NPR would play them every other day.
What, they were pro-Ross Perot?
Pro-Ross Perot songs about, because he was like the most cartoonish character running for president. It's so true. Like he was very easy to caricature and do impressions of or just sing about him because he would say crazy shit.
I remember him more for the SNL sketch in which Phil Hartman played his vice presidential candidate.
Like, who am I? Yes. Why am I here?
He's like running alongside his car. Yeah. I mean,
when you were silent for 45 minutes, it was that was all class.
I did like, I was kind of grossed out now seeing that Bart was so celebratory of Homer having sex with Marge.
It's yeah, like, I don't know if they realized the process that brought about the baby, but...
I guess not. Well, he says, Homer, you're a machine, which implies like he at least knows Homer has to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I liked Barnacle Bill's pregnancy test.
Barnacle Bill's home pregnancy test? Homer, shouldn't we have gone with a better-known brand?
But Marge, this one came with a free corn cob pie.
Okay, so national is the wrong word for this altogether. Tallahassee famous landmark Barnacle Bills.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on radio commercials on every local news channel, every radio station. So, like, little Tallahassee kids thought, like, The Simpsons just mentioned us. We were really excited because, like, if you say that to someone in Tallahassee, they'll just automatically go Barnacle Bills on North Monroe.
Is it like a tiki bar or something?
No,
or
it's just
what?
A piece of shit crab shack that
okay.
in the middle of a North Monroe, obviously.
Of course.
Visit it when you're there.
I think it's named after an old sea shanty because they sing it in Homer's Night Out during the bachelor party.
A Barnacle Bill.
So can I touch on something that we probably shouldn't? Let's not get political.
I know what you're going to touch upon. That's the elephant in the room for an episode about a pregnancy. But
yes, it's par for the course in 1991 that like, am I pregnant? I can't do anything to stop this. Not even at this very early stage. That's never discussed.
I mean, until you said this, I never thought about the word that rhymes with Gagorshin.
Yeah. Let's call it pulling a mod.
Yes.
Like, pulling a mod, like, that it's not even broached. Yeah, it's just exactly. Like, and they're talking about how we could never afford this. This will ruin us. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Yeah, but I guess we're forced to.
Like, the social landscape, I guess, was very conservative. You could not even say a character was gay. So approaching an issue like abortion would be huge. And I remember, like, 10 years later on Malcolm in the Middle, a show I also watched, the mom was pregnant and the baby was like, we can't have this. The baby was a disaster. Like, we have no money. We can't afford this baby. Our lives are ruined. And she decides to keep it. But there was never a debate about whether or not she was going to keep it. It was just like, no, it just has to happen because we're in a sitcom.
I think Middle America still wouldn't be right for it. Yelp. Hickey, a male
Only as that's a side note to that, watch the first episode of Lucky Louie. It has a great way of dealing with this exact same concept and has one of the best endings on I wish that show had more episodes. Lucky Louie.
Well, you talk about the secret conservatism of this episode. This episode also implies
I did not phrase
that,
it like that at all. No, but, I don't want that tweet.
But how they didn't talk about abortion, it's also it's not talked about, but it is absolutely the reality that seemingly, Homer and Marge had never had sex until this, and they dated for 6 years, and Marge still lived at home?
I was wondering about that. Was he just pulling out at the right time? Because I figure Homer's too stupid to...
The rhythm method?
Yeah.
Well, trust that.
Oh, yeah, I have a clip from him at the house.
It's Homer! I don't know what you see in that ugly meatball. Uh-huh. If you like being pawed by something fat and lazy, we could get a cat. It would leave less hair on the couch. You don't know Homer like I do. He's sensitive and sweet.
Marge, get your butt out here!
That is her catchphrase for the season. Just a grumble.
Yeah. The Bouviers are on fire in this episode. Yeah. They were all my favorite jokes.
One of like three appearances of Marge's mom in the whole show.
And so
is she dead on the show?
No, she's not. I thought they just
killed her.
Did they?
I could be wrong though.
Mona Simpson. They
killed her.
But I don't believe they killed off Mrs. Bouvier. But the father does seem dead. Like he's gone.
Yeah.
But the other thing that this means is like, one, Homer's 24, so think about wherever we were when we were 24.
That's 12 years ago for me.
Yeah. And even though 24 doesn't seem that far away, and then also that Homer, like, this means Bart is 36. Like,
yes, we have to address that now. Another elephant in the room.
Do I not say that all the time? When I started watching the show, Bart was my age. And now, according to the arcade game, I am Homer's age.
So Bart is canonically as old as Homer is in this season.
He's
now
born the same year as me. But sometime after a certain movie comes out.
Wow, what an ending!
Yeah.
Who'd have thought Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father?
Aw, thank you!
Well, thank you, Mr. Blow the Picture for me.
I love that.
You're as pretty as Princess Leia and as smart as Yoda.
Oh, Homer.
Such a hack geek clip that I'm just almost sick of seeing.
I love that clip, though. I think that clip typified spoiler culture for a generation of kids who got mad and like, yeah, you don't ruin the movie for me. And when Force Awakens came out, I remember Mark Hamill, a Simpsons guest and friend of the show, he joked about like, don't be Homer. And then he shared this clip where he was like, don't spoil Force Awakens for people. Don't be Homer. And also as a kid though, when I heard that voice in the clip there, that's when it clicked for me. He's Megavolt. Dan Castellaneta is Megavolt on Darkwing Duck. Because that spoiled a movie for me.
Spoil a picture for
it. It's kind of like a halfway step to Krusty Megavolt.
Yeah. But it's Dan Castellaneta doesn't do enough in Sonoma voices.
If you weren't pissing off conservatives already, I just want to get rid of my line of the
By
show.
By mentioning abortion exists.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
Song.
I bet the guy she was singing that about was real happy.
Actually, she was singing about God.
Oh, well, he's always happy. No, wait, he's always mad.
This is really when The Simpsons really starts laying into religion, I've noticed. Not even trying to be like gingerly about it. They're just like, no, this is the truth behind things. Yeah.
And it's such a light joke I definitely didn't pick up on back then.
Yeah.
But me neither.
It stands out now, and I just think all the courtship of Homer and Marge is really nice. And I think it's nice and sweet. It's just
very
not
cute, and I feel like that scene with them in the car singing is just kind of eerily fluid, the way it's animated, but it's still really fun to watch because you could tell Dan and Julia are in the booth together, and they're singing together.
Yeah, Homer felt so like normal when he's like, no, he's always angry. Oh, yeah, he's always mad.
Yeah.
Like, that was cute. And though, talking about continuity, that Light Up My Life is not their song. It is.
Oh, right.
It is Birds Suddenly Appear.
Yeah.
And so, I think they didn't even stick with this a little bit.
I gotta get that. I hope someone got fired for that blunder sound effect.
We do need like a siren, like the continuity police are here.
And also, this isn't a continuity gaffe, but it is interesting to think back to like Dead Putter Society, which was all about Homer's obsession with putting. That was at his old job. Like, that whole thing happened where he used to work.
I guess we didn't mention Homer's job was to turn a crank inside of a windmill.
That was so
great. That could be at a weird frame rate if you look at it now.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
I loved when Bart cut off his story. I was just like, yeah, we all learned everything.
But he could easily be replaced by a simple motor.
Yes,
like one of the most simple motors ever.
Yeah, I also love they have sex in that very same shack.
Yes, drunk on champagne, which I thought was Marge slurring the word champagne. But did you look
this
up?
Oh,
okay,
totally.
please.
Totally, it is a real, like, I think currently owned by Pabst Blue Ribbon and relaunched in the UK as of last year.
Wow.
But it is a beer brewed like champagne with a champagne taste.
If you want to live a depraved life.
It sounds so white trashy. It's like
I want to give that a shot.
Quintessential 80s, though.
The
perfect 80s beverage to reference. I've never seen it.
It's the Zima of its time.
By the way, look up Pabst and see what all the dog shit alcohol they own. Why do you need Schlitz and Colt 45?
I feel like it's more like Thunderbird or Ripple. It's just like, what's the cheapest way to get fucked up tonight?
What
I want to drink
the
champagne of beers.
It's the classiest way to
get
fucked up.
It's like, this isn't malt liquor.
It is malt liquor, actually.
Yeah.
What is the lowest class beer? Is it Red Stripe? Is it Pabst? Is it no? There's one even worse than that. It's like
it's literally going
Old Style.
It's literally going to a state where you have to buy liquor store at the state depots and getting the generic white label black text cans like liquor number 437.
Yeah,
but
doesn't drink beer, by the way.
Speaking of positive continuity, they definitely stuck with Marge and Homer's place being having sex in that windmill or in the castle. Because that's when was it called Last of the Red Hot Lovers? Or it was the one where they're getting off on having sex in different places.
Natural Born Kissers,
Natural Born Kissers.
And there's so many bare asses that they could never show again.
Yeah. Homer's bare ass scraping that window in that episode. But anyway, they go
eyes on the floor.
They go back to the castle and have sex in that episode because this was their place. And as a kid, I definitely didn't get the visual of the ball going in the hole to be Marge being pregnant.
And, well, yes, Marge gets pregnant.
Well, Miss Bouvier,
I think we found the reason why you've been throwing up in the morning. Congratulations.
No! 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 No!
That poor guy.
I like, so you've ruined your life.
That is your life. Yeah. A great return of the...
So you blinked?
Yeah, a great return of the pamphlet jokes on the show.
I think this episode really informed me because I've been responsible enough to never have a pregnancy scare. Just like realizing, like, this is what young Homer went through. I don't want to deal with this. And I don't think I could raise a child either. So
yeah, well, I mean,
I'm opting out.
I paid for multiple abortions and we're in the exact same position. So
you did the right thing, Chris.
Yes, use your government. Use your...
but by the way, another why the Way We Was callback. That is the scene in The Way We Was when... The question, the joke was then, how did Dad propose to you? Cut to that scene of Mrs. Bouvier, I think we figured out, like, the exact same scene.
Although
so.
This is getting impossibly nerdy, but in Maggie Makes Three, we see Homer tear out the first clumps of his hair.
That drove me crazy when he found out there. I was like, that's not how he found out she was pregnant.
I sent several angry postcards.
His marriage proposal, this is my favorite scene.
Oh,
it's very sweet.
It's
very
so sweet. Sweet. It's so James L. Brooksy. He's all over
this episode.
But
very funny at the end.
Yeah.
Marge, there's something I want to ask you. But I'm afraid, because if you say no, it'll destroy me and make me a criminal.
No, I haven't said no to you lately, have I?
Jeez. Marge, damn it, where's that card?
What card?
Oh, I wrote down what I was going to say in a card. Stupid thing must have fallen out of my pocket.
Is this it?
What's it say?
Marge, from the first moment I saw you, I never wanted to be with anyone else. I don't have much to offer you except all my love. Will you marry me?
That's a card. Give it here.
I like that Homer proposes vicariously through Marge to herself.
Up against the steering wheel. Yeah. If you look at the shot, it's just framed Homer's ass crack. He's proposing with his ass in her face.
It's like just an ass crack in the shot for maybe like 10
beautiful.
Seconds.
Yeah. I like his chain link steering wheel.
Yeah, he still has his old high school beater car.
I almost bought one of those.
Which I guess he sells at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I think.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Are you already tired of 2016? Jump into the past with 302010, our weekly pop culture time machine podcast. Here's something you may remember from 1986.
Stallone's Cobra.
I am all over Cobra.
Oh, good.
This is the most 80s movie there is.
It's Stallone's most Stallone-y, I think, where he gets the criticism of making mindless action, because the trailer absolutely presents it as such.
Mm-hmm. It totally is. It's Death Wish and Dirty Harry sort of taken to an extreme in that he is a
canon film?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I thought so.
He's the toughest cop. He's the guy they send in for the dirtiest work. And the dirtiest work is like... Oh, there's a guy, a minor hostage situation in a supermarket, and his solution is, of course, shoot everything all the time.
Right.
Kill all the dirt bags. It's like, you could have easily, like, he, like, sneaks up behind him. You could tackle him. No. We better wipe everybody out. This one has conspiracy parts in it, too. Ooh. And it's not just a gang. It's like a cultish sort of gang. There's like secret cops are actually members. And who can you trust? And like Brigitte Nielsen, I think she was Mrs.
Girlfriend.
Stallone after
they
this.
They fight the Jewish lizard Illuminati.
But she witnesses a crime, so he's well, protect you. And then
is he underwater?
The secret to doing Stallone is don't move your tongue.
You just
gotta talk without moving your tongue.
That's 302010, a weekly look at what happened in pop culture 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago, every Thursday right here on the Laser Time Network.
Going backwards, I like the brief implication of Homer and Barney were roommates, like that they were living in what Barney's apartment still is.
He's still there. We see Barney has gone nowhere in his life.
And also, it taught me a bad lesson at the age of 9, which is you can just buy a tube of cookie dough and eat it. You don't even have to cook it.
I guess I never realized like it was available in such a large quantity without my mom making
my
it.
My mom had to explain that to me, like, you could just eat that. You know how you like eating cookie dough and I make it? You can just buy pre-made tubes of it and eat it.
I prefer it to actual cookies, and I stay away from it. Because I can't trust myself, and I have no restraint.
This is before it was an ice cream, too, so yeah. Ahead of the game.
This I love this clip. I love this clip because, I don't know, let's just play it. Well, one, I think this was a funnier SNL sketch around the same time.
Mm. Homer, I've been thinking, if the baby's a boy, what do you think of the name Larry?
Marge, we can't do that. All the kids will call him Larry Fairy.
Well, how about Louie?
We'll call him Screwy Louie.
Bob?
Slob.
Luke?
Hey. Puke.
Marcus?
Mucus.
What about Bart?
Let's see. Bart, Bart, Dart, Eart. Nope, can't see any problem with that.
I think you're thinking of the Oswepe.
Yes,
sketch.
Yeah. Okay. It's Kevin Nealon like almost improving how every name could be horrible, and the mailman comes
sketch.
To the end of his sketch and like, I have a letter for Mr. Asswipe. He's like, that's Oswepe. a really funny.
That's a great sketch.
But just that, like, when the show came out, like, I thought the name Bart was a fart joke. I'd never met anybody but named Bart in my life. Never met a Bartholomew. And now, I just don't flinch at it. But for the first 3 years, I just thought it was a fart joke.
Weird. Okay. I never thought of it that way.
And speaking of names, right before that, when they're arguing about the names, like, there's all this 80s nostalgia in here, but the really dated bits are Ariel versus Cool Moe D.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That really puts it in time.
I'm not going to play the dead jingle because it's not their voices, but... Jesus, my favorite non-existent band, Funky See, Funky Do.
Yeah, they make two appearances in this
mentioned
episode.
Mentioned twice, but like by both Don Cornelius and Casey Kasem, who are both dead.
It's funny. Weirdly enough, I was in an airport recently, and I heard Casey Kasem introducing songs. And he kept doing it, and I was like, did he just record an intro for a bunch of songs they would play after his death? It was so creepy.
Yeah,
it's like, here's Starland Vocal Band. I'm like, you're dead. You're in the ground.
I guess his voice can still work.
Yeah.
So here's where the episode really made me think it was my parents at the time, and how I guess it's something I can never really shake, was that my parents did get married in the way that the Homer and Marge do. They weren't pregnant. It wasn't a pregnancy, but the long story short was they were moving from California to Arkansas, which I really wish they hadn't done. I wish I had been born in California. But anyway, no offense, fellow Arkansans. So while they're on the way to Arkansas, my dad just says, we should be married when we get there. Like, so.
Or they'll shoot us at the border.
I think he probably was thinking of judgmental family members if he had lived in sin in Arkansas. So on the way there, they're just like, well, we're going through Carson City, Nevada. Let's get married. And it was just... A very quick, like, boom, did it. As the older I got, every 5 years, my mom would tell me a more depressing, sad moment from that thing. I was like, ooh, boy. But I won't share more of that.
How about this? Because I love pointing out this early in the show. The characters are wrong. We have a wrong Cletus.
Oh, yeah.
Cletus, do you take Aileen to be a lawful wedded wife?
Yep.
Done. Next!
He's just a big, giant, fat dude in a trucker hat.
Yeah. I think Cletus is like the go-to hillbilly name, though.
Yeah.
Or like Buford.
I think that guy's Cletus is why the other one is Cletus, because that's just their stock name of like, what kind of dumbass hillbilly will we have here? Cletus?
Hank Azaria is a priest character.
Mm. I love him just like clicking his tongue and pointing his fingers like, yep.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and his casino to join
Homer
and
Marge
in holy matrimony. Beautiful. Do you, Marjorie Bouvier, take Homer J. Simpson to be a lawful wedded husband?
I do.
Homer, same question, names reversed.
I do.
Then, by the power vested in me by the State Gaming Commission, I pronounce you man and wife. Here's $10 worth of chips. You may kiss the bride. Next.
I went to my mom's courthouse wedding when she married my stepdad when I was, it was probably around this time actually, and it was actually more efficient than this. It's like, sign the paper, goodbye, we'll throw a race at you. Yeah, it's like, why pay tens of thousands of dollars? Let's seal the deal.
And I was just at my mom's newest wedding too, which was a much more involved deal than her previous one. But I also did like, I reference it tons of times on here, but the Simpsons Family album, that physical book release they had in the early years.
Oh, it's great.
It had this photo in it, and I really appreciate that at the time. I was like, yep, this is their wedding photo.
Back when it was possible to have continuity, at least the promise of continuity.
I tossed out my line. There's three lines that I really like in the show.
I have a lot of lines
in
the show.
Is one of my favorite moments.
Look what I got, Marge, a baby monitor.
Baby to Marge. Mm-hmm. Baby to Marge.
Wah, wah.
Over.
Don't know why. I love it so much. Baby to Marge.
It's a very Dragnet reading.
By the way, I had to look up the when Marge said her ideal husband was Ted Bessel. Oh, I had to look that one up, but it is such a perfect fitting thing for her because it is the love interest from That Girl, the Marlo Thomas show of the 70s.
I had to look it up too. It's funny that both the Simpsons and Family Guy did a shot-for-shot remake of the That Girl opening, but I have not seen a single episode in my life.
Yeah,
I've never been privy to a single episode.
When the Simpsons redid the That Girl opening, it was when Burns is trying to work with Lisa, and she keeps saying no, and Burns is ruined.
Yeah.
That's the Animal Slurry?
Yeah, that's in the Animal Slurry.
Old Man and the Sea Student?
Old Man and the Lisa.
Sorry.
Old Man and the Lisa.
Yeah, there's two.
It also establishes where Homer begins to aspire to work at the power plant.
Homer, I don't know how we can afford all these things on your salary.
Hey, why don't I apply at the nuclear power plant? I hear they pay pretty well.
I don't know. I heard radiation can make you sterile.
Now you tell me.
The whole episode, like, the plant is glowing so bright. I thought it was... sounds so terrible. I thought it was a Springfield Tire Fire. But I did. When I wasn't looking closely.
I also did the... I like that Marge, even at the start of their marriage, is already balancing the checkbook. Like,
yeah, she's the responsible one.
Like, they're already like, well, we've been married one day. I guess I'll start doing the checkbook for
us. And it looked like they had a monthly income of $800. And like, are they podcasters?
I mean, $819.80, pretty
that's
good money.
Almost $2,000 today. This episode also has, there's a montage where Homer is going through different jobs. Mm-hmm. And I believe it has the first of several person jumping out of a window at the first sign of panic jokes. Yeah. The trapezoid scheme.
So great. But before that, I love, and I have totally identified this as someone who has applied for jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, when Homer arrives and sees that he knows, like, he's sitting in there like, I'm not getting this job.
Yes, exactly.
I wish I would have got, because I love just the crony-tastic, that clip is, but it's not going to be my old friend, buddy!
It's weird that the...
That
the super established as a very gay man Smithers is like a raging frat bro, but maybe that says something about frat bros.
Well, that he was Kegmeister.
Yeah.
Kegmeister Smithers.
And we learn his first name, Waylon, in this episode, too.
Much later
in this episode?
This episode,
it's the end of it, but the... Him being a Kegmeister, my fan headcanon for that is just that he was so deeply in the closet in college that he was overcompensating and probably drinking too much alcohol to bury his love of his frat brother.
Choke back the vomit as he has sex with women.
It's like when you try to go to the brothel, you know?
Yeah. Or that flashback that was just Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and then I guess he was married. Like, he said... That's weird. Should that count as him being married?
Smithers,
because he did say he was.
I think so. I think he has flirted with heterosexuality at the insistence of his parents.
Yeah, I guess
most
so.
Most people do. It's really easy. but I do have a clip of the interview.
What would each of you say is your worst quality?
Well, I am a workaholic. Well, I push myself too hard.
Well, it takes me a long time to learn anything. I'm kind of a goof-off.
Okay, that'll do.
Little stuff starts disappearing from the workplace.
That's enough. Next. There's a problem with the reactor. What do you do?
There's a problem with the reactor? We're all gonna die!
That's
I love that Foley.
That's great.
Here's the thing. I thought he was going to jump out the window, but it's the other guy that died. I was waiting for it. He's sitting by a giant plate glass window, like, jump out the window, Homer,
but
and it didn't happen.
Maybe in the animatic, they're like, we can't have them both jump out windows. Though then it has a great callback because later in the episode, Smither reveals, like, he ran into the brew closet.
Oh,
like, he didn't even run out the door.
But before that happens, like, Homer basically has to, like, this is very weird, but like also like speaking of conventional sitcom plots in terms of the Gorshin thing, the man leaving the wife because he can't properly support her. It was baffling in my head then, and it's even more so now.
Yeah.
I can't support you. I'm not a man, so I'm out of here.
They try their best to make him redeemable, but it is an odd choice, you know, of a shithead choice.
I can't do this right, so I might as well not be here at all.
Yeah, I'm going to work at a fast food joint.
That'll be the best thing for the kid.
Yeah.
I mean, a fast food joint, by the way, if you look really closely at it, and we do now, it's the Krusty Burger with an oddly matted gulp and blow thing in it.
Oh,
and like,
really?
It's really crude.
Perhaps we're to believe that the Krusty Burger bought up the gulp and blow?
I think they were just trying, they were reusing assets and like... Mm. Guys, I have to ask, does the Krusty Burger exist in 1980? I don't know. Well, we got to figure it out now, or we have to make it something else. Fuck it, it's Gulp and Blow.
This is the only appearance of Gulp and Blow.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of traction out of Gulp and Blow for what they use it for, but it disgusts me.
Yeah.
The idea of it.
gulp and blow.
I do like the I do like the montage of his jobs. Like yes. That kid's reaction, like, what a crappy kid.
I couldn't tell if the kid was crying or laughing.
You ruined the vacation.
I think he was crying.
Okay.
And then also they cop to it on the commentary, but they pause on a couple signs really long because they're like, we were 20 seconds short.
Oh, what are they, modern Simpsons writers?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You must see every one of our jokes.
Read them.
Sorry, Homer has to write a letter to Marge.
Dear Marge, by the time you read this, I will be gone. You deserve all the finest things in the world, and although I can give them to you, they will be repossessed and I will be hunted down like a dog. Also, it has become clear that your family doesn't want me here.
Shut up with that pen scratching down there.
I will send you every cent I earn for the baby, but you will not see me again until I am a man.
That's right. You couldn't have been there to help in any way.
I guess he's promising to return once he is respectable, but it's still not a good choice to make.
Well, and they make sure at the before they go to commercial to have current day Homer say, like, well, obviously I came back. Like, don't even be that sad. Like, I didn't
leave.
Lisa's
crying, too.
Yeah. And you know, my mom did let my brother eat frosting for dinner at least once.
Can we have a can of frosting?
Well, it was such a... My brother is much healthier than me, by the way. But it was this weird thing where she would buy cupcakes. Like, you know, we'd be on the grocery store's trip, and she'd buy those cupcakes. And then my brother would just lick the frosting off of them and then not eat the rest of the cupcake. And so then my mom just said, what are we doing? Why am I wasting money on these cupcakes? I'll buy a jar of frosting.
She cut out the middleman. It's smart parenting.
Yeah. And oh yeah, I did love how Marge said, we break thumbs.
Yeah.
Like, and the super friendly Repo Depot guy, like, it is like hand a ring, I'm afraid.
Repo man, I'm here for the baby's things.
Oh.
Crib, mobile, monitor. Oh, and the lady's ring, I'm afraid.
Oh dear.
Repossessing stuff is the hardest part of my job.
I love that guy.
The statement is, my job is the hardest part of my job.
Yeah. He's the repo man with a heart of gold. Instead of being a Hank Azaria, like, jaded blue-collar guy.
I can't tell if that's my least favorite joke or my favorite.
It's awesome. I agree.
Except for, I think we all gravitated towards this one, that Burns is playing a very specific game.
Oh, yes.
And we've compared the first season that maybe that's Punch-Out. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. It looks like the arcade version, kind of. But this is very specifically Ms. Pac-Man.
It's a very Simpsonized Ms. Pac-Man.
And I know Ms. Pac-Man, I know everybody's familiar with it, but I can't honestly tell you, even before I was playing it, how ubiquitous Ms. Pac-Man machines were. Like, I'm going to soccer practice. There is a machine on a field plugged into an extension cord. No. That thing is fucking everywhere.
Though, was there a Ms. Pac-Man in 1981?
I think it might be an 83 game.
That official one, yes. Probably.
it's an illegal
Mr.
mod.
I forget what it's called.
But it's in the Retronauts.
That's it. That's it. Come closer. Ironic, isn't it? The hunter has become the hunted. Oh, God, Smithers, I feel so alive.
What a great take.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a perfect intro to Burns. Yeah. Like, it's a nice, like, reintroduction of, this is Mr. Burns. He's the guy who owns this place.
I like how they make no effort to make him even look the slightest bit younger.
Nope,
as they do with everyone. Even, like, Patty and Selma have longer hair. And actually, Patty and Selma, I do want to mention, they go to great lengths to differentiate between the two. Like, Patty is the harsher one. Selma is... As like,
I meant to take note of that to remember which one was a lesbian now.
Patty. That's Patty, yeah.
But yeah, that Selma was the nice one, or, well, the nicer one.
She was not completely heartless.
Yeah, that she was like, you really do miss your husband, so I'm going to say 2.5 words. Gulp, blow.
I didn't get that line. The other one they said, my favorite line in the show is they're taking a picture and they're done, and the mom goes, girls, you can smoke now.
That's great. And this episode also builds in why Homer lost his hair, or how he lost his hair. So he's losing his hair on their couch, and he's also losing his hair in their tacos. No. So it's like they're building that in, like, no, he's going bald, and he's kind of got a receding hairline in this episode.
I mean, it's definitely clear he has less hair than he did before, and he's losing it. But I also did like the little reconnection scene between Marge and Homer.
Wait, hold on, I gotta finish. I have the rest of the burn scene because it's so glorious.
You the boss?
Yes.
I'll call security, sir.
Well, listen to me, Mr. Big Shot. If you're looking for the kind of employee who takes abuse and never sticks up for himself, I'm your man. You can treat me like dirt, and I'll still kiss your butt and call it ice cream. And if you don't like it, I can change.
Hold the phone, Smithers.
I like your attitude. Feisty yet spineless.
Sir, this man not only failed the aptitude test, he got trapped in a closet on his way out.
I don't care. I haven't been this impressed since I first laid eyes on a young bootlick named Waylon Smithers.
You mean?
Welcome aboard, son.
I got the job. I got the job! Woohoo! Only in America could I get a job.
Who was that young Hellcat Smithers?
Oh, Homer Simpson, sir.
Simpson, eh? I'll remember that name.
You know, I really
the joke is on the nose.
I really need to try a Homer's strategy when I'm applying for jobs again, because I was unemployed a few years ago. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. Applying to a lot of things I felt were kind of beneath me. So I would go into the interview like, I can do this. I can do any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, I would never get any of them. So do I need to like supplicate at their feet or something?
I don't know. I'm terrified. I haven't had to apply for a job.
5 years?
Yeah, well, I went in for a job interview. One time in my life, I went into a job interview while I had a job that was not in jeopardy. So all the confidence in the universe. That's the only time that's ever happened to me. And then after that, I had the exact same thing you were going through when I moved to San Francisco. Mm. Like, I have a degree. I was published in this. Let me see if I can get a job, like, writing for you. No. And then, like, well, until then, I'll get a job as a waiter. And, like, the self-important... no offense to the service community, because I have worked restaurants, but, like, in San Francisco, there's a 10-top. What do you do? What's a 10-top? What's a 10-top? 10 tables, motherfucker! Guy. Like, guess what? Now I know. Yeah. I am just as much of an expert as you are. That was just lingo you hid from me for a moment.
Yeah.
Can I count to 10? Yes. Can I write down orders? Yes. Your job isn't that complicated, but you're going to make it seem like it is, and that there are people actually incapable of doing it, even though there's not.
Yeah, everybody's got jargon.
They've got to guard their position somehow.
Guarding the secret.
The Waylon thing, I feel like that's a Waylon Flowers and Madam reference.
It is. On the commentary, they mentioned he's named after Waylon Flowers, who was a, I would say, a very effeminate ventriloquist who had who had an old woman puppet, and they did parody this on Family Guy, which is probably where a lot of people have seen it.
Yeah. What? There's no idea.
He had like talk show appearances in the 70s.
Not Senior Wences.
No. He had a sassy old lady puppet named Madam.
Wow. No idea.
Mm-hmm. 70s guy.
Waylon Flowers?
Yes.
Yeah, Waylon Flowers. Very homosexual.
That has to be the gayest name of all time. Like, if you wanted to control your kid's sexuality, that name was not the way to do it.
I feel like it had to be a stage name.
It had to be a stage name. Yeah. You have to pick that name.
But a quick cut back to when they reconnected. Mm-hmm. I really loved their moment together, because like first her giving her the onion ring, and then they're saying like, this is sweet, but this is burning my finger, and then he eats it
and she sucks the juice off.
Yeah, it was a great little real moment. But also when Homer says poor Vu, I was like, that's a callback to Way We Was.
Yes. He's, I wish they would have had the Bird Suddenly Appear song that you mentioned. It
seems like they probably couldn't afford it or something like that.
They fell in love via learning French, so I like when he calls back to that French stuff they
didn't
together.
Even pick up on that. And then again, one of my favorite lines, they reconnect.
Mark,
he has got to get to the hospital.
Where's the baby?
Right where you left it.
Shut up.
Hey, listen, fat boy.
No, you listen. This is my wife and this is my kid, and I'm paying for this delivery, so if you want to stay, you better give me some respect.
Homer, does this mean...
Starting tomorrow, I'm a nuclear technician.
Good God.
I love that. Good God. That's the right reaction for Hibbert to have.
He barely knows him and is terrified. And then it's immediately followed by Homer trying to deliver the baby himself.
Homer, that's...
Step aside. I'll deliver this baby.
Why don't you let me handle it, Homer?
Oh, college boy, eh?
Homer, for God's sakes, let him deliver the baby.
I love boy, calling a doctor a college boy.
I love those Three Stooges line readings he's doing. Like, oh, I'll deliver this baby.
Yeah, I'll do it here.
I do like this episode
Come
more
on,
than
Chris,
I thought.
It's winning you over.
Well, and also, the donut man. I really did love the donut delivery man a little bit earlier. Like, oh, the colors of the rainbow.
And that's what
I
really wanted Homer, made Homer want to get the job.
I just love the way that I think of that line all the time. All the colors of the rainbow. That kind of like New England-ish accent, it's beautiful.
That about wraps it up, people.
You know, son, the day you were born, I received the greatest gift a man could have. As the years went by, your mother and I were blessed twice more. And not a day goes by that we don't thank God for all three of you.
Homer, I'm not pregnant.
Yeah, whoa, excellent, Marge.
Yes!
I like how he knocks one of the kids off the couch to high-five Marge.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, great, this is Simpsons again.
Yeah.
I forgot it ended on the high-five landing. Like, high-five and boom, the
freeze
over.
Frame, yeah.
And then it also ended, I'm sorry, I have to be, well, why not get granular on this kind of show?
Please.
This stupid sound effect. I've never heard that before. Yeah, I've never heard that into the
usually
Simpsons.
Usually when they go out on a like a cut to black mm-hmm. joke, just like bam, like mm-hmm. they will play a little sting. I think Bart the Daredevil does that too, like try raising my kids.
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, I've heard that dun 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 dun, but very rarely that dun dun dun.
Whatever this is.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know what that is.
It's very nice.
But yeah, I guess, you know, this episode's dated in that, like, they just have the morning after pill. Like, Marge would just go get that. But, I mean, this is one of, since The Way We Was, this is one of the most dated episodes ever because it's specifically like, yeah, you know, 10 years ago, 1980, which was, it wasn't even 10 years ago then in 1980. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing that they were drilling into 80s nostalgia so quickly.
And they even kept it more clear of, like, they are the class of 1974. So Homer is... He says it 24 in the episode.
Yeah.
Because it's 6 years later.
God, it's hard to imagine Homer being 24 now that I'm much older than that.
I want to see flashback episodes to Homer and Barney as roommates.
There is so much of their life we haven't seen from The Way We Was until that episode that could be like great material to mine.
Very few things that establish why they're friends in the first place.
Yeah, like how they met. Yes. I mean, I guess they were friends since they were children, according to the Blunder years. But
fuck that episode. But I know they've. I think I've heard Groening talk about pitching a show just called Homer, and they just pick up Homer's life at any time in an episode, like as a spinoff. That could work, I think. But this was a good episode. I actually prefer. I think Lisa's First Word is a better.
I agree with
version
you. Yeah,
of this
it's my least favorite flashback episode of the trilogy.
And I still meanwhile the B Sharps is just Goof Town, but awesome.
I love that episode.
It's less about the Simpsons growing as a family and more about this fun little like side trip through Homer's life.
It's more about a lengthy Beatles parody.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
That's what it's really.
That's all
about.
It is. Thanks, David Merkin.
And it was not a Merkin one. It was one of the last before Merkin left.
Wow.
Even on the commentary. They think it was a Merkin one.
He is obsessed with the Beatles.
Yeah, he's obsessed with the Beatles, but he's not the only boomer obsessed with the Beatles.
That's true. There's quite a few of them.
Time Life would have me believe it's everybody.
And I would still love to talk to, like, I've reached out to Jeff Martin on Twitter. I will probably do it again. Like, I want to interview him just about this trilogy of episodes. Like,
yeah, it's amazing he's behind all of these.
And what it was like to be the guy to, like, build, what was it like in the writer's room to build this history of The Simpsons to say, okay, this is how Bart was born. This is how Lisa was born, and just to think of those two Joe Piscopo lines reflecting on one another in those two episodes.
That is great. I love that.
I was like, oh, there's going to be a Joe Piscopo joke. Oh, no, that's the other two. But I say good episode, really good episode, but more for history purposes than the two. You're correct. The two episodes sandwiching this one are better.
Yeah, very heartwarming. Good animation by director Jeffrey Lynch, his first episode as a director, and he would go on to do great things. So,
there's a shot where Maggie gets swung into the camera in the beginning that I just... That was out of nowhere, and I loved it.
Yeah, lots of great little touches, great colors. So, yeah, that was Talking Simpsons, everybody. I Married Marge. Great episode. I liked it. I have been your host, Bob Mackey. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. Please subscribe to my other podcast, Retronauts. It's a classic gaming podcast. You can find that at retronauts.com or usgamer.net or search for it in your podcast machine. Everybody else, where can we find you?
Laser Time, lasertimepodcast.com on the show that started it all. I have no idea what the episode's going to be. We'd had some... The weirdest, most fun episode we did in Laser Time, we pick a weird pop culture topic. I don't know, what's been your favorite episode as of late, Bob?
Like the data technology episode.
The Dead Formats?
Dead Formats, yeah
that's
really
what
good.
I was going to mention, because that was super fun.
I listened to it a few
fun.
Times, actually.
Yeah.
So much fun.
And there's also 30-20-10, if you want to think about things that happened 30 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 10 years ago, that's the podcast for you, where we take a given week and talk about what happened in 1986, 1996, and 2006 in pop culture, and even some news, Chernobyl tragedy. And also, you know,
and it is the only show in the universe, and I love the image. I don't know which one of my 30-20-10 images is my favorite. Either the one with Pamela Anderson, Richard Pryor, and Orson Welles, or the Super Bowl Shuffle. A GTA character and the Challenger exploding.
That could be my favorite. How random of a discussion can you have?
And also, patreon.com/lasertime is the home to where you can directly support us and help pay our bills.
Yeah. And get the first 13 episodes of Talking Simpsons, the first season for you people who are really into the show. And we did a season 2 wrap-up that was fucking awesome.
Yeah. I love it.
And this episode marks the middle point of season 3. This is episode 12 of 24, 24. So we're halfway through season 3.
So thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week when Bart falls down a well. We'll see you then.
infotainment.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.